Okay, thank you all for being here instead of being out watching the parade this morning. I am going to talk to you about challenges that are being faced by local health departments in preparing for climate change and adapting to the changes that climate change is bringing to us. And then Jacques Colon, my colleague here from NACHO, is going to talk about, at the end, a toolkit that NACHO has developed to help local public health departments respond to climate change. In 2007, APHA issued a statement that climate change is one of the most important and serious health threats facing the nation. We are seeing right now on the East Coast with Sandy the kind of change that we're facing, and I have pictures here of a variety of recent extreme weather events, the drought in the summer to causing all the corn in the Midwest to die. There's a picture there of Shishmaref, the community in Alaska that had to move because of rising seas. But there are also other related health threats of climate change other than those brought by extreme weather, such as the spread of vector-borne diseases, waterborne diseases. There are threats to food safety and security. There are all the heat-related illnesses. And we look at climate change as not a creator of new health risks for the public, but rather an amplifier of existing risks. So that what is going to be called for by public health departments is to expand existing programmatic activities in these areas, areas that they're already active in but are going to be stressed and face higher demands. So in light of this, in 2007 and 2008, NACHO conducted a survey of public health directors in conjunction with the Environmental Defense Fund and with us at George Mason University. We interviewed public health directors across the country. These were phone interviews that lasted roughly half an hour, anywhere from 20 minutes to one of them that I did was an hour and a half, where we talked to health directors about the challenges they were facing and their preparations for climate change. What we identified was widespread awareness of the importance of climate change to public health, but a lack of activities to detect, prevent, or ameliorate its effects. So, for example, what we found here was that most of the directors believed that climate change was happening, but few departments felt that they had the expertise they needed to respond. So these are a couple of example figures here from that report, Are We Ready? So we see that 60% of the directors agreed that their jurisdiction was likely to experience a serious public health problem as a result of climate change over the next 20 years. And 83% disagreed that their health department had the expertise they needed to create an adaptation plan. Those kinds of results have been replicated and extended in a number of other surveys of people working in public health. So, for example, chief health officers of state and territorial agencies have been surveyed. Public health nursing administrators have been surveyed. California and Oregon public health directors and environmental health directors. And in all of these surveys, we find the same results, that the public health personnel report that their departments are not prepared, that they lack information, and they lack capacity to assess and respond. I've put up the one figure here. Most of these results are essentially descriptive, but in this particular study, which was of environmental health directors by Sana Sayal, and I'm sure I'm slaughtering her name, I apologize to her for that. She looked at the relationship of risk perceptions, she and her colleagues, to the kinds of adaptation programs that existed in the department, and you can see there is a very strong relationship there. We're going to come back to that later in as I report these results here. Now, since that original survey, the original Are We Ready survey in 2007 and 2008, public health departments have faced increasing challenges when it comes to responding to climate change. And in particular, these budget cutbacks, which I'm sure every person in this room is well aware of, that along with the recession, we had huge cutbacks in the public health workforce in the U.S. 22% of local health department personnel have been lost, 17% of state health department personnel. A total of over 52,000 jobs have been lost. Concurrently with this, the mandate for responding to climate change within public health departments has increasingly been challenged, along with the political polarization of on the issue in this country. This has been occurring over the past decade, but it has gotten more extreme over the past several years, so that in 2008, 50% of conservatives and 73% of liberals believed that the climate change effects have already begun in this country. That's a 23% gap. These are Gallup poll numbers. By 2010, that gap had broadened to 44% difference between the two, with only 30% of conservatives accepting the agreeing with the statement that climate change effects have already begun. So this has impacts in two ways. One of the directors I talked to in 2008 said, look, I would really like to respond to this, but there's no mandate for it locally, and I can't without that. Secondly, it has an effect in terms of, to the extent that people working within public health are conservatives and Republicans, they're likely to be influenced by the views of their party to regard climate change as less of a threat than the science tells us it actually is. So, this year, the beginning of this year, late December and early January, we conducted another national survey of local public health directors. This survey differed from the first Are We Ready study in that it was conducted online. Instead of being a lengthy telephone interview, it was a very brief online survey. We sent out mail and email invitations, and we got about a 50% response rate. In the survey, we replicated all of the close-ended items, or virtually all of the close-ended items that were asked in 2008, and it's about those results that I want to talk to you now. Okay, so we're going to compare the two. First of all, in terms of the perceptions of threat of climate change, what we see is attitude formation, attitude polarization taking place over these past 4 years, so that fewer people say, gee, I don't know if this is a threat, and people move from saying, well, I'm somewhat agreeing with the statement, yes, it's a threat, to strongly agreeing, or from, well, I somewhat disagree that it's a threat, to strongly disagreeing. And we see this result repeated in a number of the questions that we asked. So here, for example, my jurisdiction has experienced climate change in the past 20 years. You see that in 2008, a fifth of the respondents said, I don't know. That shrank to 13%. The proportion who strongly disagree with that statement jumped from 1 to 12%, and the proportion who strongly agree with that statement doubled from 9 to 18%. So we don't see a change in the mean. There is no average change, but what we do see is the attitude polarization taking place. That bottom number there, the Levine statistic, it has an F distribution that indicates significantly different variances and is evidence of the polarization that we see taking place. That same result here and I'm sorry, it's my jurisdiction will experience climate change, not in the next 20 minutes, but in the next 20 years. Sorry, the word is cut off there. No change in the mean, a very significant level of polarization, from 23% to 39% strongly agreeing, from 1% to 10% strongly disagreeing, and I am going way too slowly, and only half as many saying that they don't know. Same thing for the future for public health problems within my department as a result of climate change. Moving on very quickly to the expertise within my department. What we see here is decreases in the priority and in perceptions of the department's ability to respond and expertise for responding. Here we have some significant declines in means and the same kind of polarization that we saw with the other measures. Expertise, no mean change, but still polarization taking place. Significant decrease in perceptions of the state health department's ability to respond. No mean change in my own knowledge as the director. A decline in the priority of the issue since 2008. And then finally, in terms of the number of adaptation-related programs and mitigation-related programs, we see significant declines in both. This is out of 12 adaptation-related types of programming. They've gone down by an average of one program. And mitigation-related programs, such as healthy transportation choices, went down slightly, but not significantly. They didn't exist much before. Finally, what we see here is that these effects seem to mostly be taking place. There's a tendency here for these effects to be taking place more in the small health departments. And the last thing I want to show you, recall the SIAL response link between risk perceptions and adaptation-related programming. If we look at priority, risk perceptions, how many impacts are happening here, and departmental expertise predict priority in both 2008 and 2012. However, when we look at the number of programs, in 2012, risk is no longer, the local threat is no longer related to the programs. However, expertise still is, and department budget has become a significant negative predictor. That is, if I have a small budget, I have fewer programs. So we can infer from that budget cutbacks are strongly influencing the ability of public health directors to respond to the threats that they see locally. However, expertise is still very important, and because of that, or in light of that, Jacques is going to talk to you for a few minutes about NACHO's toolkit.
Yeah, I'll keep it very brief so that we can keep things moving. Thank you, Connie. I'm Jacques Colon. I'm with the National Association of County and City Health Officials. We represent the over 2,800 local health departments in the country. So as Connie stated, we did this survey, both the 2008 iteration and this year's past iteration, and based on those results, we found that the best thing that we could do to help local health departments try to increase their own capacity to be able to assess and address the health effects of climate change would be to create a toolkit that had easy-to-use tools that would help people throughout the spectrum of understanding about climate change, from understanding what climate change is all the way through understanding what risks specifically to health climate change poses and what particular adaptations can be used to help ameliorate those. So we went through a process where we developed a toolkit by rounding up all the tools that we could find on the internet and in other places and putting them through a review process whereby we have a work group comprised of 12 local health directors or local health department employees. They took a look at all these tools and essentially rated them, put them through a rubric, and at the end of that process we were left with a group of about 85 tools that now sit in this toolkit on NACHO's website. That are available to access for anybody. So all you need to do is essentially put in your email. You get on the toolkit, and you see that on the right side there are several areas that we tried to make sure we had tools to address. So whether it's an example of what a vulnerability assessment looks like or what a climate adaptation plan looks like, what did the city of Chicago do, what lessons learned did they have when they went through their climate adaptation process. So things like that are in the toolkit. We are putting it through a constant evaluation process whereby the tools are being rated. So this is what it looks like. Here is a list of some of the tools if you go and you start browsing the tools. And now what we're doing is that the tools have been through a rating process, as I said. So you can see on the right side there, you can actually get a sense for what tools were the most helpful to other folks. Right now, this has only been rated by the work group that I talked about, but anybody can get on there and rate a tool, provide a comment, so hopefully that becomes, over time, more user-friendly and more interactive in terms of other folks telling you whether this was a useful tool for them in their jurisdiction. So in the back, I have a series of these cards. They have the link on them to the toolkit. Would love to hear anybody's responses or questions about it when the time comes for that. So thank you.